Online Biz Insiders, episode 25. Welcome to this week's episode of Online Biz Insiders. My name is Carla Wilson, and I'm joined by my colleague,
Mary Motes.
And we are your Online Biz Insiders, delivering a weekly podcast that consists of a 10 to 30 minute episode each week, where we bring you our expertise, our tips and tricks and resources that you can use in your small business or as an entrepreneur to make you more productive in your business. Today's episode deals with online reputation management, which is a super important topic in today's world of being connected socially with between the social networks and just your business online in general. Recently, Mary and I met Julie Friedman Baccini at a networking event that we both attended. Mary and Julie were actually making a presentation to the group, and we got to chatting after the presentation. And one of Julie's services is online reputation management. So before I jump in too far into this discussion, welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're glad that you could join us. So if you could just take a few minutes and tell folks about you, about your company, and what services you offer.
Sure. My company is called Neptune Moon Design, been in business since 1999, and we provide a mix of services rooted on the web, anything from web design and development to search engine optimization, internet marketing, social media strategy, and of course, online reputation management.
Got it. Okay, great. And as I stated, the online reputation management was a subject that kind of, got my alerts up because coincidentally about the same time that I met you, a colleague of ours was going through an issue of being defamed online. And I have her permission to be very public about this. And I'm hoping that our episode will help straighten some things out. But also, more importantly, Julie, I want to talk about, you know, what specific services you suggest for businesses. So just to give you a quick backstory, we have a colleague named Megan Barber, who is from New Jersey, and she owns a virtual assistant practice called Barber VA Solutions. She's brilliant. She does a lot of work with real estate agents, does a lot of work in social media and internet marketing. And unfortunately, about six months ago, right, Mary?
Yeah.
It was about 6 months ago, unfortunately, she discovered that her name was placed on what was billed as a consumer protection website. This consumer protection website listed her as a child predator. And unfortunately, Mary had no idea this was going on until one of her clients called her and said, "Oh, I'm really sorry, we can't work with you anymore because I saw this posted about you and I just don't feel comfortable." And Megan said, "Holy cow, what on earth is posted about me?" And of course, you can only imagine what was going through her when she read this. So she was trying to figure out the best way to solve this. And I noticed that she was doing a lot of marketing recently. She had great blog posts. She was doing these great videos. She really stepped up her marketing. And I just, you know, would see her on Facebook or see her on Twitter. And I kept saying to myself, wow, Megan's doing lots of fantastic marketing. This is so great. Her clients are so lucky. She's doing such a great job. And then I guess it was, you know, just about the time we met Julie that Megan came out in the open and said, "Here's what's happening. Someone's defamed me online. And I'm here. I, Carla Wilson, am the first one to tell you that Megan Barber is not a child predator."
Yes, she's probably one of the coolest, nicest, most decent people in the universe. And to think this is happening to her is just horrible.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So what was written about her is completely unfounded and untrue. So I'm here to tell you that today. But to kind of talk about how to be proactive in this realm, this is why we brought Julie onto the show. So Julie, yay, I'm going to have you talk now.
Well, I was, you know, really sorry to hear about this particular situation. And it really represents sort of the worst case scenario, if you will, of things that can happen, you know, in the online space. Unfortunately, due to the anonymity of the internet and its instantaneousness, I think it's a really dangerous and toxic combination sometimes, where not only can you say really awful things, and you can say really awful things sort of in the heat of the moment, if you are upset about something or, you know, you feel like you've been wronged in some way, you have the opportunity to immediately share something with the entire world. And what makes it even worse is you can do it in a way that is, for all intents and purposes, completely anonymous. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you don't even have to sort of stand up and say, yes, I said this and I stand behind it. You can just sort of put really nasty things out there and really not have any blowback on you. So it certainly has always been an issue, but with the growth of the internet, with the growth of social media, it just has exploded in the last 12 to 18 months.
Right, exactly. So online reputation management is one of the services you provide. Can you tell me about basically what that process entails, or, you know, what specifically you're doing for your clients in online reputation management?
Sure. Reputation management really can take a lot of different forms. For some people, it's more important, and some types of clients, it's more important than others. Certainly, if you are working directly with the public, reputation management probably should be a little higher on your radar than perhaps someone who is in more of a B2B or a business-to-business type of industry. But regardless, I think anything that we're talking about here also applies to your personal brand. So one of the recommendations that I make, even if a client is not ready to fully engage in reputation management services with a professional like myself, one of the things I recommend is make sure you're aware of what might be out there, both about you as an individual and about your organization.
Right.
You know, as part of the decision-making process today, I think you have to assume that people are going to Google you and or your organization at some point. So whether you're trying to find a job, whether you are doing a lot of networking, whether you're trying to land a big deal, bring in a new client, I think that you have to assume that the person on the other end of that transaction, more often than not, is going to Google you and or your company. So you should be completely aware of what it is that they are going to find. One of the worst things that can happen is sort of be taken by surprise and think like, gosh, I've been doing all this great marketing. I've been out there and I just can't seem to close a deal. And either somebody lets you know or you take a moment and you Google yourself and you realize there's something really awful out there about you or your company that you were unaware of. And, you know, who knows how long it has been doing damage.
Got it. And this was something the Google alerts are something that we talked about just briefly in episode 14 as kind of a way to, as a marketing strategy to kind of, see what's in general, what's being said about you, said about your business, but also about your niche, what other posts are out there to, have fodder for your own marketing. But while, like you said, setting up your name, your business variations and thereof, and then how often should you be checking that?
I would say you want to check that at least once a quarter would be my recommendation. It probably wouldn't hurt to do it more often. It depends a little bit on sort of how high your profile is.
But
I wouldn't recommend checking it every day. You could probably drive yourself a little bit crazy. But I think if it's something that you're concerned about, taking 5 minutes to, do a couple of Google searches on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, it may make you sleep a little better at night. So, even if something does get out there that you might need to deal with, you're going to find out about it pretty quickly.
Right.
And Google alerts are great for that. But I still recommend, I'm a big believer in doing some things manually as well. I think a lot of the automated stuff can be great, but there's no substitute for taking a look at it yourself, because there could be something that, maybe sort of points you in an indirect way. There just isn't a full substitution at this point, I don't think, for a human eye and a human brain taking a look at something.
So by that, do you mean manually going to Google and putting in your name or putting in your business name and not relying fully on the Google alerts? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I think doing both.
Gotcha.
Alerts are great because it's automated, and look, we all get busy. So having the alerts come in on whatever frequency you've set up your alert, I think that's a great way to make sure that nothing is going to fall through the cracks if you get too busy to be able to be checking on whatever interval you've decided is appropriate for you.
Right.
But I still think even if you have the alerts set up, going in and actually doing that search yourself and eyeballing what is showing up, I think that's a good exercise. Plus, it makes you aware of sort of what's out there. And again, if there's anything that you need to kind of put a spin on, or if there's anything that you really want to emphasize, you can tailor your interactions when you're at networking events or when you're trying to pitch to a new client or whatever you're doing, to either really highlight something that they might find or kind of downplay something that they might find.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So in the case of our friend Megan, the fact that she's doing all these positive things with her marketing is probably the best bet for her, at least as far as damage control is concerned.
Yes, and it's certainly the thing that you have the most control over. Certainly, if you find really damaging content like she did out there, it won't hurt to try, if you can find any type of contact information, which is often difficult on some of these different sites. But if you can find contact information, it certainly can't hurt for you to write a very calm and professional email to the owner of the site and sort of let them know that this information has been posted about you and that it's completely false, and that you'd really appreciate their assistance in, you know, having this offensive content, you know, removed. Chances are they're probably not going to do anything about it. But certainly if you are, I know it would really make my heart stop if I saw something like that written about me. And it's easy to sit here and say, you need to be calm and be collected. But I think that, you know, the chances of somebody having sympathy for you and actually taking action on your behalf are much greater. Mm-hmm. If you could sort of put a little distance between, you know, your extreme emotional reaction and the communication that you're going to send to them.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So what are some other proactive things that we could do to, put a more positive spin on our reputation?
I think there are a lot of things that you can do. Some are more involved and some are less involved. So again, it sort of depends on how much of a priority this is for you and for your organization and how much time you want to invest in it. Mm-hmm. But some basic things that you can do is, if you don't have a blog, you could always create a blog. Mm-hmm. And you can be blogging about, you know, things that, you know, may not be overly, I'm the greatest reputation management consultant in the world type of thing, but you can be showing your expertise.
Right.
And so when people are searching for you, for your company, for the topics and areas of your expertise, those types of listings will start to come up as opposed to some of the other things. You can make sure that you are claiming any listings that might already be out there for either you or your business. And that could be anywhere from sites like yellowpages.com, yelp.com, insider pages. I mean, there are many.
Ooh. Okay.
But being aware of what's out there. You can create a Google Places page if you have an actual business. And you can also create a Google profile page for yourself personally. Obviously, if somebody is searching in Google, those will come up prominently. Google likes to promote its own stuff.
Nice. These are all great. I'm taking very copious notes that I will, of course, have in the show notes for everybody as well. Mary, did you have other questions for Julie?
I was just wondering, I am sure that Carl and I tend to deal with a more virtual world, like, you know, virtual services management, virtual assistants, online business. But I'm sure a lot of your clients are brick and mortars, people with traditional retail type businesses or location-based service businesses. Do you have any tips for how they should approach online reputation management differently, like things like, you know, using sites like Yelp or Foursquare or things like that?
Yeah, I think one mistake that clients make who have that type of business, who are, you know, serving consumers directly and you have physical locations and you have a particular service area, I think one of the things that businesses often do is sort of put their head in the sand and say, like, mm-hmm. I don't have, yeah. You know, I'm already stretched to the max. You know, people are already telling me I need to be on Facebook. They're telling me I need to be on Twitter, that I need a blog. I need this. Like, I just can't take one more thing that I have to be responsible for. And I get it. I mean, that, you know, there is a lot of pressure to be in a lot of places, to be doing a lot of different things. We really try to help clients prioritize and figure out, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. how can we create a plan for you so that you can be, to the greatest extent possible, putting yourself where your customers are most likely to be?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense. I think is important. But I think if you ignore all of these different location-based / review type sites, that can really be a big mistake. Clients make the assumption that, well, I never set up a profile on Yelp. I never joined Insider Pages. I never set up a profile on Merchant Circle. Therefore, I'm not listed.
Yeah.
That could not be further from the truth. If you have a telephone number for your business, trust me, you're probably in all of those places.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's also a lot of, another friend of ours was telling me that it was Comcast. It was like this giant corporation, as giant as it gets. And she had an ongoing customer service problem with them. It was just some silly thing that had to be resolved. And apparently it was phone calls and 2-3 weeks in the making. And then she resorted to Twitter and she said, "Mary, it was solved in 15 minutes. It was funny because it's almost like larger corporations are kind of way ahead of the game. Like, they have teams of people monitoring their name.
Sure.
And she expressed her unhappiness on Twitter and someone was all over it within a matter of minutes.
Which goes to
illustrate the power. Like, you really do need to be there. You can't ignore your online reputation any longer. You really can't, no matter what type of business you're in.
And if you think about that, that's sort of the difference between a public and a private complaint. You know, she was having private communication with the company trying to
that
make
they didn't
headway.
Get, they weren't resolving it. Yeah, exactly.
So what did she do? She took it public, which is, you know, available to everybody now. And larger companies have a huge advantage. They do have, their customer, they may have a customer service team that all they do is monitor things on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Or they may have cross-trained all of their customer service people so that, you know, they're all monitoring things and they're sort of empowered to respond to customer issues either via traditional means of telephone or email or on social media. So they have a huge advantage over smaller organizations where, you know, you may have one person who's responsible for not only running the actual business, but also, you know, who's now responsible for, you know, doing search engine optimization and making sure the website's up to date and running Google AdWords and doing Twitter. And,
can
really, really be overwhelming. So I understand why sometimes when I bring this topic up or if I mention it in the, you know, list of services that I provide, people look at me like, "Oh my God, what is that?" You know, I have one more thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That I have to say about,
right.
You know,
exactly,
and I feel a little
right.
bad sometimes shining the light on it, but to not do so, I think you could really be shooting yourself in the foot and not even know it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I do have one more question for you. How do you package your services? Like, I'm sure that you probably come across an infinite variety of circumstances, and it's probably really hard to apply a one-size-fits-all type service. But how do you approach that? Like, if you have, like, a doctor's office, and then on the other hand, you have someone that works an online business that has a national audience. Like, how do you address that when you are quoting services for a client?
Well, normally we certainly can work with clients on one portion of their web presence, or we can work in more of a holistic approach. Obviously the holistic approach is our preference. But we certainly have some clients where we handle one or two aspects and they have other providers that are handling other aspects. But the way that we really think about reputation management sort of would be like level one, level two, and level three. With level one sort of being a basic kind of name it and claim it type of service. So, we'll do a little audit for you. We'll take a look at, you know, what's out there. You know, are you listed on any of the major sites? You know, have you claimed any of those things? It's really sort of like a snapshot review of sort of like, here's what your presence is like now. Are you there? Are you not there? Are there reviews posted? Are they largely positive, largely negative? You know, kind of you are here, you know, for lack of a better term. And some people like to do that piece themselves. And some people say, "I don't even know where to look. I don't know where to start. Just do it for me." So that's kind of the baseline. No matter what kind of service we're going to end up providing, you need to understand the lay of the land and and where you fit in, where there are gaps that you need to fill, where there could be incorrect information. If you have a huge number of reviews on, let's say, Google Places or Yelp, and you don't have reviews anyplace else, it kind of creates a little bit of a roadmap for what would need to happen at level two.
That's it. Yeah,
well, that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, I like that. What was it? Name it and claim it. Yeah. That sounds like it.
Name it and claim it. And then what does level two involve?
Level two would involve taking a more proactive role in how you are being presented across the web. So that could involve anything from making sure that all of your actually claiming these different listings. So having an account, registering and creating an account and claiming the listings on all these various different sites, making sure that all of your address, web, contact information is correct. It's incredible how many times that information is just flat out wrong. In addition to that, then taking a look at what the reviews are, helping you, we'll create reviews, responses to, if these are the top five complaints, let's say, when you have a negative review, people are complaining about price, they're complaining about this, about that, what have you, we will create professional responses for you so that when you get the inevitable complaint about topic A, B, or C, you don't have to worry about your blood boiling and putting something on there that would only exacerbate the problem. We're going to give you, you know, a very professional response that you can then post. And then by posting a professional response, it can sometimes mitigate the effect of a nasty review because at least people can see like, oh, okay, well, first of all, they didn't just ignore it. And second of all, you know, they were very professional about it and they offered to have that, have that issue or dispute or what have you to respond to it in some way and offer to have further communication with the client to positively resolve it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I've seen a few companies and it seems to be companies that like provide services to virtual, things like, FreshBooks or something like that, for instance. And I know that those kinds of companies are just so great because there's always some twerp out there that's going to just trash you. You know what I mean? Like just, especially the larger audience you have. But what the takeaway is always don't engage trolls. I mean, if someone's out there just, spewing nonsense, don't go, hey, and like call people names. Like you have to always be above board and seem above reproach, even in when you're responding to a jerk.
Right.
I mean, would that be good advice?
I think that's excellent advice. And as you know, I said, when we were chatting a little bit earlier, it only takes one semi crazy person to cross your path and be having a bad day to go out there and write some really awful stuff. So I think, you have to kind of, you may be frustrated, you may be upset, you may think it's awful. You need to go outside and scream or, you need to call somebody and say, I can't believe what you need to find another outlet to, get that emotional piece out when somebody writes something awful, but it cannot be your response.
Right.
Whether you're sending a private message to that person or whether you are sending, a public reply, you can't do it. That's like throwing gasoline on a fire.
Right. Exactly. Huh. Okay.
That's great advice.
That is great advice. So then you said there are three levels of support. So you have this one, the name it and claim it, and the two, like as you said, the report from name it and claim it gives you the roadmap for level two, which is more more proactive, making sure the information's consistent, making sure that you, Neptune Moon, are creating these, professional responses if they need to be made. But then what is level three?
Well, level two can also include starting to have a plan to be a little more active on these sites and try to be proactive, try to be posting positive things, working to sort of build up a certain amount of positive content that's out there and positive, buzz and positive feelings about you personally or about your company or organization.
Got it.
Level three is we've got a PR disaster on our hands. And that really requires, obviously if you are not already in control of these various entities and your listings there or whatever, you'll want to take care of that right away. And then we sort of kick it into high gear, trying to find opportunities to post to post positive material, but also to post neutral material. I think, you know, you don't have to go overboard and try to make sure that everything out there is super duper positive and there's never anything negative. And, you know, you can also tamp down some really negative stuff by increasing the amount of what I would call neutral content that's out there. So that might be, if you don't have a blog, you could start a blog. Be a guest poster on someone else's blog.
It's looking for
opportunities to be able to put content out there. If you're participating in an event, it's contacting the organization that's sponsoring the event and saying, "Hey, can I get a mention, you know, or a link back to my site?" I mean, it's looking for opportunities to be able to have neutral or positive content out there about you and or your organization that can start to really push the offending negative content, you know, further and further down. Mm-hmm. Most people do not go beyond the first page of Google.
Right. Okay. Okay. So you're saying the more posts out there, the more links out there about you, about your business, are going to push that negative stuff down maybe onto page 2 or page 3, where people normally aren't looking.
Yes.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Okay. Mary, did you have any other questions for Julie?
Yeah. Where can people find out more about your business?
They could visit my website, which is www.neptunemoon.com. And they could also check out my blog, which is neptunemoon.net.
Okay, great. That's wonderful.
And then for those folks that are telephone people, what phone number can they reach you at?
610. Mm-hmm. 404-2317.
Okay. And folks, we will definitely have all of Julie's contact information in our show notes on our blog at onlinebizinsiders.com. So this will do it for this episode of Online Biz Insiders, specifically regarding online reputation management. I'd like to thank Julie. I'd like to thank Mary. Thank you so much, guys. That was really awesome. It was a great discussion.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Today.
Thanks, Julie.
That was fun.
Thank you. The Online Biz Insiders podcast is brought to you weekly by myself, Carla Wilson, owner of Wilson Virtual Assistants, and by my colleague, Mary Motes of Pro Virtual Solutions. And our podcast is produced weekly by Wilson Media Services. Our theme music was produced by my son, Ben Wilson. I always have to put that plug in there, so bear with me, folks. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you on a future episode. Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks.